Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me.
She
D T F.
She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lord,
welcome to DTF. This is the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour, the greatest sex education, comedy, sometimes game show, podcast in the known universe. Hello, I am your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
Hi, and I'm Daryl Charles, the resident sexuality educated.
I like it. Yeah, that works. Yeah. he's also the likable one who also will do things to make you mad. So.
That is so not true.
That's not true?
No, you're far like more likable than I am.
Oh,
I'll make somebody laugh, but I tend to bring up inconvenient truths. And I mask. I use comedy to mask that.
Oh, okay.
I think so. I think most people on the right side of history find me affable. I think that there are a lot more of them who it's better to completely ignore anything I do.
I know the most mad that our audience has been at you is when you compare a vulva to the predator.
Yeah. It's like making out with the predator, baby. It's all kinds of flaps. Yeah.
Because I've definitely gotten feedback after that. They were like, is Daryl okay? Do we need to have a conversation with Daryl?
Just you're mad about a very astute observation that's not flattering. I never said that the Predator was ugly. I never quoted Arnold Schwarzenegger or Danny Glover in either of their respective movies. I've never done that.
I think that ultimately I like the Predator, except for how his entire super technological system gets shut down by mud. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, the one thing I will give the 80s is that they did their best. They really tried.
Tried so hard.
They tried hard, and they used all of the tools that they had at the time to make good art, at least compelling art, right? Okay. Like, Total Recall is a fun movie to watch. The mm-hmm. 80s version, please don't.
That's the only version
we acknowledge in this house.
Okay.
You know, it was like an 89 movie. It was like one of the last movies to really use puppetry and like didn't use CGI. There's no CGI in that movie.
Mm.
Especially back in those days, CGI was like shitty looking, but still it wasn't as good as it looks now. But like, you know, they did what they could and they tried to make these compelling arguments for things. The argument in both the first and second Predator movies, even though Predator 2 I think came out in like 90 or 91. The reason I know information like this is because the Layoff Kids did Alien versus Predator versus Alien versus Predator tournament. So I've seen all of those movies at least 5 times in the past 5 years.
Wow.
So anyway, nightmare. Anyway, those movies were about war and conflict mm-hmm. and how those are not means to an end. They only feed themselves. And so when you put the, you know, stereotypical jock crew of people together and there's a super predator amongst them, they figure out that they're not and they figure out that like war just breeds more war and there's no peace unless you put it there. So anyway,
deep
there's still a deeper meaning to it, right? Same thing with Total Recall. It was about freedom from capitalism and a quest for being and like what is your purpose in life and freedom and stuff.
All of those movies
the
movies that really have lasting like staying power have these sort of concepts. Like Alien is one of my favorite franchises.
Yeah.
And I just got stepped on by a cat named Ripley. And
yep.
What I love about Alien is that don't remember how old I was when I first saw it. I think I might have even been in college. And I was just like, this is a great horror movie.
Yeah.
And it also comes from a place that, like, every single day is proven to me as true that there is going to be a giant corporation that will do evil things for money and will sacrifice everyone in the pursuit of it. And so, like, that's who we are today. We're in DTF, where capitalism was the villain all along.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. My favorite Pride meme is the Weyland-Yutani symbol, but with Pride colors through
yeah,
it.
And yeah, it's like, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, as much as Alien is a nightmare movie, it was the first movie to depict regular, like, working class people in the future.
Mm.
Every other movie before that was about the scientists, and it was clean, and even, what's that movie with, like, HAL 9000 or whatever, I don't remember.
Oh, 2001?
I've never seen that one. 2001, The Space Odyssey, right? I never saw that one, but, like, even that one is like, it's like super clean and pristine and all that stuff, but it's like, no, the movie Alien is about fucking junkers and haulers, and they're moving industrial equipment to terraform planets. This is the dirty grunt work. The third movie is about a prison colony full of the worst criminals ever. It's not a good movie, you know.
David Fincher, come on.
It's David Fincher, and, you know, his original script ended up getting changed. Again, I know far too much about these movies.
Oh, yeah. This is going to turn into an Aliens podcast very quickly. So I'm just going to say, all I have to say about that is Prometheus counts as a Christmas movie. And let's get to... Yes, Prometheus takes place at Christmas. Because Idris Elba, who inexplicably is Southern, is very into Christmas.
And not even the worst accent or... most tone-deaf character in that movie.
Oh, yeah. No, not even close.
Not even close, boy. I mean, yeah, like, I saw Prometheus in a blizzard. I was living in West Philly, and I walked to that theater on 40th and Walnut. I don't remember what it was called then, and I don't know what it's called now. But in a blizzard, I went there by myself and saw it in 3D, and I walked back home in the snow like I wasted my time.
Oh, I love it.
It's not that good. I mean, it's better than Covenant.
Yeah, I mean, most things are.
It's better than Covenant, and it is definitely, definitely better than Alien versus Predator Requiem. I think if I hit video in my pocket while I was walking somewhere, I would make a better movie than Alien versus Predator Requiem. That is a bad movie. Alien versus Predator Requiem. That's the second one. Anyway.
Well, think on the topic of big decisions.
Yes.
And on the topic of art, we are going to head into talking about sex stuff, because that's what this podcast is purportedly about.
True. So. There's sex stuff in Prometheus.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole very cogent argument for abortion access.
That's also a really good point. That's also in there. Yeah. I was just thinking of the shower scene, but yes, there is that other graphic abortion scene in Covenant. There's that.
It's great. Yeah.
There's some nudity in Predator 2. I think Predator 1.
Mm.
There's some very problematic language by a former governor in Predator 1. We make a lot of fun of that in the Playoff Kids series.
Two governors that are in the...
Two.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's two governors. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. This is, you know, it'd be one thing if voting wasn't just a popularity contest.
Whew. All right.
Mm.
Well, all right. That takes us to our episode... that is specifically on a regular segment of ours, which is Fucking Idiot, Fucking Brilliant. So today is just a fucking brilliant, fucking idiot. We are going to start with our first one, which is the good one, because we got it. There's got to be good stuff. So with our first piece, the fucking brilliant, Daryl, you wanna tee us up with what brings up this topic today?
Let's buzz market a little bit. I was listening to Snap Judgment, a wonderful little storytelling podcast. Glenn Washington is the man. And the episode is called Forever is a Long Time. And it is about this person. It's another podcast, but this person goes to people in their family and talks to everyone who got divorced on the nature of marriage and divorce and asks them why and how they came to the ultimate conclusion of separating, you know, regardless of whether kids were involved or not. And the first episode, which is on the Snap Judgment feed, is about the person's parents talking about getting married and getting divorced. And I'll leave it at that. But it sparked some conversation with my wife and myself, and then with Timmery and myself before we decided to hit record. So, we were just talking about, the nature of marriage and how it's way easier to get married than it is to get divorced. And if I had my druthers, I would make it just as hard to get married as it is to get divorced.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I understand that, and I'm interested to hear more about that. The thing I immediately said is that I don't care.
Right.
Like, the thing that I immediately said is, like, I don't think that it's imbued with, like, magical mysticism in the same way that somebody might for a religious, you know, marriage sort of idea.
Right. Yeah.
So for me, it's like, as long as we're going to tie people's healthcare and their finances and inheritance and, like, property rights and those sort of things to marriage, I think whoever wants to get married should be able to get married to whoever else they want to, and it could be like 7 people at the same time, and they could be of any gender as long as they're all adults. And right. I don't think that citizenship should necessarily be tied to it. I like that it's one of the easiest ways to become a citizen, so that's handy, but we don't put that same level of scrutiny on anybody else getting married, just on immigrants. And so for that reason, I don't want to make it any harder, because I don't care if they break up, because I am not the government, and I don't care if you get married and break up. So I don't. I'm just like, I want y'all to do what you got to do to get health insurance.
Yeah, and quite honestly, the government makes more money when people get divorced.
Is that so?
Because it gets caught up in lawyers and judges. Like, those people get paid for their time. And that is, you know, the next time you have to deal with the government about a marriage is when you decide to end it. Like, you deal with the government to get married. You get a bunch of, you know, tax benefits and things. Because the idea of marriage, the institution of marriage, is one of establishing stability. It's just like when you are young, if you're a 20-year-old and you want to rent a car, it costs stupid amount of money. It's dumb expensive, to use the New York parlance, to rent a car until you're 25. Because, you know, statistically speaking, 20-year-olds are stupid. Just because you have a license doesn't mean you are responsible enough to have a car. And you're more likely to drive too fast. You're more likely to not pay attention to the road, like all of that stuff. When you turn 25, I'm not a risk manager, but, you know, find an actuarial scientist to break down my random thoughts. But, you know, once you get to a certain age, then that comes down. I always think when it comes to stability, just look at insurance rates. Your insurance goes down when you turn 25. Your insurance goes down when you buy a house. Your insurance goes down when you get married. Like, all of those steps make you less likely to fight in a revolution or do something untoward, right? Like, having a child lowers your insurance. All of that makes you more reliable. Everyone's Wednesday. Yeah, if you have a child, a home, and a spouse, your Wednesdays are going to look like a lot of other people's Wednesdays.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. But so because of that, that is precisely why I don't care. Because I also want people to be able to get out of that quickly. Because, like, all of the reasons that divorce is deferred is partly the stuff that you just spoke about, like wanting to maintain stability in the culture, but also there is a moralistic sensibility that a divorce is a bad thing and an outcome that we want to avoid. And if we give people enough time to sober up and work on it, then maybe they'll change their minds. And historically, most of the barriers to divorce are really good for the people who have more money and are really good for the people who are abusive and are really bad for the people who don't have a lot of money and are being abused. Like, I have personal experience with folks who are going through divorces where one partner makes more than the other and they are dragging it out as long as possible to try to bankrupt the other person into agreeing to things that they wouldn't otherwise. Yeah. And every step that we've made towards liberalizing divorce laws has been to the benefit of women and the people who have, you know, less likelihood of having their own income and higher income. So I'm very on board with being able to get out of it really fast. And also, like, I'm not like a, I'm not a total pessimist on marriage or anything. I don't mean to sound like that, but I don't know anybody who's divorced who regrets it.
Right. And I don't and there are plenty of people who are married who regret it. And I'm saying it should be as hard. I think it should be harder to get married so you can avoid a lot of those things.
Okay. Okay.
You know, I think it's like the conclusion that my wife and I came to is that I think everyone, like, one of the things I will always tout to everybody I know who's going to get married and whatever is that we did couples therapy before we got married. We did
That's smart.
We did couples therapy before we got married only because we wanted to get married. Mm-hmm. And it was a wonderful thing. It was a mediated, level-headed conversation about what we wanted in our lives before we decided to tie our beings together legally. And that is what I think, that's the barrier I think that should be put on. And then it became a thing of like, how do you enforce that? And what we came up with is a tax credit, right? If you go to get marriage counseling, the state gives you a small tax credit that just incentivizes doing it. Because, you know, I think, yeah, love, that Eros love, that passionate love, is fleeting. It happens, and then it ends, and then the rest of your life is there. And there are plenty of ways to love a person, right? There's the agape and the whole things. But, like, that feeling is what society is banking on to get people married. I think about you all the time. You're new and exciting and wonderful and all that stuff. And then the rest of life happens. And, you know, there's a whole host of reasons to regret that decision. But if you have the real conversation about, you know, marrying assets and, you know, the ideas of childbirth and right to die and power of attorney and, you know, all of those things, that should be a part of it, because you have to talk about all of that stuff when you get divorced.
Yeah.
How are you going to split those assets? How are you going to deal with that stuff? So, like, that should be a part of the conversation to get married.
It's kind of like student loans, because, like, when I took out student loans for grad school, the paperwork was maybe 2 pages. Right. And a lot of it was, like, semi-clear to me what was happening. Like, I'm a reasonably bright person who's able
but
to
no
read.
But no one's reasonably bright at 17 years old.
Well, this was grad school, so I was a little bit older than that. But, like, I also just didn't know. Like, I just didn't understand the context for what I would need. I didn't know how much money I would need, because, like, I was like, will I? What happened for me personally is, like, I went to grad school, didn't know, like, what kind of jobs I'm gonna have. I had, like, a part-time job working at a retail place because it was one that I'd been able to transfer when I moved, like, stuff like that. I didn't know what was gonna happen. I didn't know how much money I'd need to take out. But when I graduated, that's when there's this half an hour exit interview online with 50 pages that I have to click through and agree to things, none of which had been clear when I first signed up. And it's like, if they had done that in the other order, they wouldn't have gotten all of my interest, right? So, like, that's why they did it the way they did. And I think that it's, to your point, they're more than happy to let people end up in accidental, poorly thought out, shotgun weddings.
And yeah, like, you could do it drive through in the right state.
Yeah, you can go to Vegas, no problem. It is so easy to get married. And this was one of the big points of contention before the Windsor decision in the Supreme Court, that, like, yeah, maybe you can in your state have some sort of domestic partnership protections that you're gonna have to go through a bunch of rigmarole, but, like, a straight seeming couple can just go to Vegas, meet that day. Nobody's going to stop them. And why can a same-sex couple that's been together for 15 years not get the same legal protection as these two strangers? Like, that was one of the big points of contention. And
I love a point.
So, yeah, it's, like, super easy to enter into these commitments, super hard to get out of them. It's the same thing as parenting. We've talked about this before. I wish more than anything that parenthood was specifically opt-in. And that's not to say that every unplanned pregnancy is a tragedy or bad or that people regret having their kids. I can't speak to anybody.
No. I think my life is a bit of a tragedy, but I was unplanned and I think I'm doing fine.
Yeah. I just think that it's like we should set people up for success by making sure that that is a decision that they make and not just
because
something that they
big
have to deal
decision.
With.
Yeah. It's a yeah. big decision. Like, yeah, I agree. Totally.
And this is why I'm like so ardently, you know, in favor of abortion rights. But like, if I were a fascist dictator, I would also have reversible sterilization for everyone. And then to have it undone, you just have to go through some classes and at least like jump through a couple hoops to prove that you actually want to even do this thing. That it's not just
right.
an accident.
Exactly. I agree. I think that it's just like if you want to own a home, there are a bunch of like first-time homeowner grants and loans and stuff that the government gives to people before, so that it encourages them to get those grants, to get those loans. You have to take classes on financial literacy, on you know, all the things you need to do to successfully buy a house. And that's what I'm saying with the marriage thing. It's a similar thing. Like, the government can't force people to do stuff. It shouldn't. But you incentivize stuff, and the only power that the government has is in taxes. But, yeah, it's the same thing. I think, yeah, yes, having a kid is a natural occurrence, and the whole nine, buying a house is not necessarily a natural occurrence. But, like, yeah, if science could do that, and you could have, like, an opt-in to the, like, having a kid,
I mean, science can't do that. That's a thing that's very possible. We would just, again, we get into a whole lot of rights issues there. And, like, I completely understand why people would be like, I don't want the government in charge of that, because I agree with you. Again, this is only if I'm the fascist dictator.
Right. I'm a good person. I'm doing this for a good reason.
Where I would set this up where it's not going to reiterate all the systems of inequality that are currently
in existence. That's the thing you have to fight against.
Absolutely.
And again,
happen.
I don't think that you're here's a question. In your fascist regime, does the government have the right to tell a person, no, you should not have a child?
I mean, if this is my if I have total freedom here and I'm just ruling by fiat, I would make
you
sure
you are the God King.
Great, wonderful, looking forward to it. what I would do is make people would just have to actively, you know, like apply for it, go through some like basic parenting classes. I would not necessarily want to scan for like criminal background because that's like problematic, but like maybe if you have a history of abusing children or sexual assault on minors, maybe you don't get approved or you have to go through some extra hoops, maybe. I would just put enough hoops in there that like you really think about it. You get a little bit of, you know, supportive stuff in the education, and also the whole thing would be filled with resources for further learning. And like in my fascist regime, there's universal daycare. And in my fascist regime, there's universal health care. So you're not making this decision based on finances. You're making this decision on, I have decided I want to be a parent, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to have the support of a culture that wants every child to be wanted. And so that would be part of my fascism includes like universal education.
Yeah, right. It also makes it easier to raise a stand-up human being, like a contributing member of society. It makes it easier to create those.
This is why there's all that data on like same-sex parenting and how same-sex parents tend to have actually really better outcomes.
Yeah.
Because they are less likely to just get knocked up on accident. It's much more likely to be a chosen thing. They're much more likely to have waited till later.
Two outies, man. You really gotta want a kid.
Yeah, to have the finances to go through adoption or however you do it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah. Yep. Yep, that makes perfect sense. And again, yeah, the studies show that same-sex couples tend to make better human beings because they have to want it. And it's, yeah, it's, oh man, yeah, that episode of Snap Judgment, the person's parents, one of their parents, I don't want to spoil anything. It's a good episode, you should listen to it. But one of their parents was like, yeah, my mom told me over and over again that she didn't want me. And I was a mistake, and I was actually actively ruining her life. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. You know, like, you talk about setting a child up for failure.
Well, and even if somebody doesn't overtly come out and say that, because coming out and saying that is an abusive thing to say, but even if they don't, I think that there's plenty of people who can empathize with the experience of feeling like their presence is holding back their parents, right? Like, I think that a lot of us can say, I don't think that I ruined my parents' life, but if they weren't tied together by having a kid, they might be better off.
Right.
Or that if they didn't have to worry about raising me, then they could have made other choices with their lives that might have made them happier. And so even if your parent loves you and never says anything like that, we can still have that hanging over our head, that sort of that guilt that we are the reason that our parents are unhappy. So
that's a great point. And yeah, I think every child made their parent a little less happy. But you know, that goes back to one of the themes of my logic, my line of logic is that there's a happiness index that every year they tell you about the Scandinavian country that has the happiest people in the world.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you go, well, you know why they're happy. They're a homogenous culture, and you know, they just have sidestepped racism by saying nobody who's not us can be here. And that's not sidestepping it, that's enforcing it. Again, I'm not fun to be around. But it's about happiness. And I think that, like, if people had to opt into marriage and get a conversation about life goals and how to be a compassionate and, you know, a supportive partner, you would end up with happier people. And happier people don't get divorced. I mean, that's not a one-to-one. But, like, just when I'm the God King and it's my regime, happiness will be the metric that you judge how well a government does, right? You want happy people. And, you know, does that mean that there would be no janitors? I think, you know, I know plenty of people who enjoy cleaning.
Just think the cleaning staff should just get paid super well.
Right. I think, yeah, if I could get like a 401k and a thing to clean, son, oh my God, I'd be brother clean. It'd be different. Yeah. I'd have my own line of spray bottles and shit. Like, it, you know,
all of these super essential jobs should just pay better. That's the thing I think we should take away from the last year and a half anyway.
Right. And that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I think people should be happier, and we spend a lot of our cultural capital on productivity and efficiency and very little of it on happiness. And so, yeah, I think maximizing happiness would be the thing to do. And I look forward to, I don't even know if I'm going to listen to the rest of that podcast, but it was some pretty neat meditations on the act of coupling and uncoupling.
Yeah.
I also think it'd be great if you could marry 8 people.
Yeah.
but I completely understand. Big insurance is like, who the fuck are you? What? Hell no.
Is that, well, I don't know. I guess this just, everything always comes back to insurance shouldn't exist.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that also is true. Yeah, insurance is quite a scam. And nothing told me that insurance was a scam more than when I lived in Southwest Philly. Shout out to Southwest. Where I was burgled a number of times. and when I, you know, called up my insurance company to say, hey, getting robbed is under my renter's insurance. I'd like you to pay me back for the things that I've been paying you to make sure that I had peace of mind on. They replied with a check for pretty much what I gave them. and a letter telling me that they no longer wanted my business.
Wow.
And what I paid them was about a third of what I had accounted for. And I was like, oh, well, this is just go fuck yourself, buddy.
Yeah, that's like yeah. that.
And yeah. I needed, and you know, and like, there were a lot of times while I was giving them that money, I was like, I don't fucking need renter's insurance, but I didn't want to be in the wrong with the, you know, yeah. landlord company and shit. Yeah. I was like, no, you got to do it, and that's what you do, and it is what it is. And then when it was time for me to turn around and be like, what's up? It was like, nah. You know, but if you, you know, look up how insurance people pay out people and see how that works, check out what happens to hurricane victims in Louisiana versus hurricane victims in Alabama, and you'll see yeah. that I'm not fun to be around.
I do have one very dear friend who works in insurance who has given me a positive view of insurance in a very specific way. The reason that this friend works in this industry is she's like, I can do much more to impact policy in this job than I can anywhere else because
that's yeah.
this insurance covers police departments for cities, diocese of church, like big groups like that. And right. when it becomes too expensive for your insurance for you to keep beating up your citizens or abusing your children, that's when the insurance company comes in and makes you actually change structurally yeah. And change the way that those organizations are working. And so it's one of those sad things where it's like there are these lawsuits that are happening. A number of big universities right now are getting sued for the way that they've handled like sexual assault cases and sexual harassment claims in the course of the last few decades. And because it'll be the insurance company that ends up having to pay out when they lose these giant lawsuits, the insurance company is going to be like, this is how you're going to handle campus rape assaults. And they're going to have to be way more hardcore than the rules of Title IX. Thank you, Betsy DeVos. Because all that stuff was changed under the Trump regime to make it harder to come forward with a complaint of sexual assault or harassment on a campus. There was a recent article in The Nation about how men's rights groups had worked with the Department of Education, Betsy DeVos, again, to malign the sort of people who come forward with allegations to perpetuate myths about rape and abuse. And they changed the way that the entire nation and system of universities deal with these allegations. And that is one of those things where it's just like, it's going to take years to undo that damage.
And
if an insurance company can come in and be like, don't make it expensive for us, maybe that will be one of our best lines of defense.
And you know, yeah, I get that, I hear that too. Yeah, they have an outsized impact on the things that happen. But again, that I will rebut that by saying that's more of a problem than it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's working within a shitty system to do good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an American, so I think, yeah, by default, when you are born, you are eligible to be the president at 35, and you are born into a shitty system that you have to figure out how to do the most good in.
Welcome to DTF, where capitalism was the villain all along.
And actually, I should change that. I used to think that you were born into a shitty system and you have to figure out how to do the most good in. I've learned that plenty of people do not want to do good in that system. And I'm completely fine with it being bad, demonstrably bad, to people that they hold dear, as long as, at the end of the day, they feel better than someone else.
Well, that is a fantastic segue.
I'm not fun to be around, baby.
He is, though, but he actually is. He's a lot of fun to be around. But that takes us to our next regular segment and the one today, which is Fucking Idiot.
Yay.
And we would be remiss if we did not cover this because we cover this shit all the time. And as of this recording, yesterday, OnlyFans came out and said that sexual activity will no longer be allowed on the platform starting October 1st. And so there's a whole lot to say about that. And before anybody comes in and they slide their glasses up their nose and say, well, sexual activity isn't the same thing as nudity, and so they're not getting gender pornography. My answer is, the Supreme Court literally said, you know it when you see it. And the line of what counts as porn is whatever fucking somebody wants to say it is.
True.
And the way that we have seen every single website enforce their nudity, sexuality, porn rules is who's working that day? Like, who's on? And how much of a jerk are they? And do they have a problem with you because you're black and you're fat? They'll just be harder on you than if they think that you're less pornographic because you're skinny and white or whatever.
Yep.
So this is a big thing. Yeah. What's
I can't just take pictures of my feet. If I just took pictures of if I had an account on Instagram that was just pictures of my feet with, you know, it doesn't even have to have suggestive hashtags. It's just pictures of my feet. I decided to, I want to take a picture of my feet in different places just to chronicle where I am in the world. That is porn to someone, and very likely the people who would follow me. And I probably have more followers of my feet than I would of my comedy.
Well.
Anyway. yeah, man. OnlyFans been trash. You know, it's a classic corporate move. You start as a disruptor, right? You know, there's a cachet in social media, there's a cachet in being into being a influencer, right? You can get a lot of people to follow you. Obviously sex is one of those motivators. You could not give out your sexual pictures or videos or whatever on a lot of social media things. So OnlyFans shows up and says, yo, we'll start a subscription model and people got to follow you in order to get certain things, and we don't care if it's sex. And then they started doing the, if you can bring in other people, you will make some of their money. So you could, you know, if you started an OnlyFans and then you brought in, you know, five people with your, you know, coupon code or whatever, then you would get 10% of what they made. And OnlyFans, I think they took like 15% of what you make.
20.
They took 20% of what you make. Mm-hmm. And then you would make 10% of whatever they made. And that came out of OnlyFans' 20%, not your, or not that person's 100% or whatever. So then they took, so then, and that's the way it was. And OnlyFans started blowing up. Very much the stripper model of working at clubs, right? Like, these, if the Players Club was the documentary that I remember it to be. and then the pandemic hit, and a lot of jobs went away, especially if you worked in cash businesses. A lot of those opportunities to be outside amongst the people and the free flow of cash in the free market went away. And so a lot of those people then decided to open up OnlyFans, and they started raking in cash. And then what did they do? They took away that 10% bump for referring people. And when that happened, we were like, yeah, this is the first step in a long line of steps that's going to disenfranchise sex workers. And
well, it's also interesting, look to who's me because right. The first time I heard of OnlyFans was before I knew there was porn on there. So I apparently came across it like surprisingly early, I guess. And the way that I came across it was that it was just basically a way for semi-famous, like not quite famous people to monetize their infamy, right? So I remember distinctly somebody that was on like a reality show or something like that. Like, just, they're just like mildly hot, not particularly talented, but like had gotten just a little bit of media coverage. And and I found them randomly on Twitter, and then in their bio was their link to their OnlyFans. And it, I don't know if there was nudity or not. I don't know if they did that in that account. But that's my first introduction, was a bunch of people who were just like, I think one of the first people I knew about being on there was, you know, just like the kind of, they want to be Kim Kardashian. That you will get more access. You will get photos of my life. Selling.
Right. Yeah.
You're
it's selling your social media.
Yeah. It was comparable to going to a con, meeting a celeb, getting like an autographed picture. You're just going to get like more access. And that was how they originally had started, but they didn't have a rule about nudity. And of course, sex workers always are looking for like, what can we do with this new platform? What, you know, like sex is always driven most technologies.
Yes, the reason we had VHS instead of
Betamax.
Betamax. It's the reason that we had Blu-ray instead of HD DVD.
Yep. It's always been the driver. And then, yeah, we were seeing all these ways in which OnlyFans like was more than happy to let those content creators drive their site. And then they kept changing the rules of engagement. I remember we talked about on the show, Bella Thorne went on there to basically, I guess, like research for a role in a film that I now finally saw the trailer for. And I was like, it wasn't worth it. But she went on there and she like straight up scammed people. She said, for this much money, you'll get this thing that they didn't get. And because she made so much money so quickly and it was a scam, OnlyFans changed how often you get your payouts. And what, you know, like how much money you can charge for things, and changed out a bunch of stuff like that. And this is also a site that is not flawless in its execution. Their customer service is notoriously bad. They will sometimes just not work at all as a site, and they don't give you anything back when they don't work. So it's like, it's just generally been not a great site for workers for a long time. And that's why people who became content creators in the pandemic or whatever are going to be much more adversely impacted than people who had been doing this for a long time, because people who have been doing this for a long time knew what was going to go down, and they were not trying to just be on OF anyway. They were already on a bunch of other fan sites and like ManyVids and AVN Stars and like, you know, all the clip sites where you're going to get a bigger percentage of the money anyway. And a lot of these other sites will fight for the content. So like if somebody... There were a number of times where there would be like OnlyFans leaks, and I'm putting big air quotes. And basically, it's just because people took the content and then, you know, shared it elsewhere. But it's not like they were hacked or anything. It's just people stole the content and shared it. OnlyFans will do nothing about it. They will do absolutely nothing because there's a million other people on there, and they're just going to keep making new stuff. But other clip sites were like, that's our content, and they'll go after you for stealing their stuff. So OnlyFans is always trash. But it's also, we also have to mention that it's not just them. This is about MasterCard. This is this is a MasterCard problem, because the banks have been notoriously discriminatory against sex workers for forever. And it doesn't matter that this is a perfectly legal operation. That selling naked pictures of yourself is not illegal.
It's nothing illegal about it depends on the state, right? Because
as long as they're obscenity not kids. And
shit. Well, but the obscenity, like, you know, if you live in California, well, this was the whole thing with them. Oh, no, that wasn't Pee-wee. Well, Pee-wee's whole thing was an obscenity trial thing where it was like this town wanted to make the news on obscenity. So they knew that there was a theater that had porn. And this sheriff or whoever the hell it was, like, called the media to be like, we're going to knock down this place. And then it just so happened that Pee-wee Herman was there. And then it became a bigger deal. But like a lot of the obscenity cases, that's how they tried to get Larry Flint, was like because he was mailing copies of Penthouse Places, a state that it was illegal to do that stuff, requested a Penthouse, and then he sent it to him, and then they were like, you broke the law.
This is one of the points. And then also the reason that a lot of these things keep changing is because of the lobbying efforts of these groups that are like this group that used to be called Morality and Media, and now they're like the National Center for Ending Sexual Exploitation or something like that. And they want to make the argument that all of this happened because OnlyFans was refusing to do basic ID checking and making sure that everybody was legal and adult, which is not true because they always did that. It is actually... You have to go through some pretty big hoops to get on there. I've known people who got turned down even though they had multiple forms of ID.
Right.
So it's nonsense, and you can just safely not listen to anything from those people because they lie because they think that it's for some greater good.
Arguments in bad faith. I remember a comedian friend of... I remember a comedian doing a lot of talking about some political thing that was happening, and people were like, you have no idea what you're talking about, you're full of shit. It was like, nah, it's supposed to be like this, blah 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 blah. And then someone was like, well, it wasn't like that 10 years ago. And they're like, well, I just got into politics. And then it was like, well, okay. That's totally fine to live that way and be that way. You don't have to be into politics, but you spent days refuting people who have been doing it for forever. And so you cannot now say, oh, I didn't know back then, so you can't hold me accountable. That's a bad faith argument. And if there's one thing that 2016 through 2020 has taught me, is how to see that coming from a mile away and not involve myself. Because people like to think New York has this there's an outside view that New Yorkers are like tough and like fast and stuff, and I don't think that's the case. I think New Yorkers are just as nice as anybody else. I think that New Yorkers have a short fuse for having their time wasted. And like that is the difference. If you stop a New Yorker on the street and say, hey, I'm looking for this place, do you know where? 9 times out of 10, they will stop and give you some really good advice. But if you go, hey, and they go, huh? And then you start just doing a backflip, they will curse you the fuck out because you are wasting their time. I didn't want a show right now. Like, you know what I mean? And that's, and yeah, so I have refused to have conversations with people who, in bad faith.
Well, and that's wonderful. You can avoid that. The problem is that these places like Project Exodus and like the National Center to End Sexual Exploitation are putting pressure on these companies. And here's the funny thing is you can't have this conversation without talking about FOSTA SESTA. So I just have to go back to FOSTA SESTA. All of this stuff is just sort of like looming over it.
Super
I will
trash,
reiterate for the millionth time that FOSTA SESTA was purportedly to combat human trafficking, but like every other law that is purporting to battle human trafficking, it doesn't do that. It's ineffective, and it makes it actually harder to find trafficked people, and it just makes it harder to be a sex worker. So everything has just been harder since that in 2018. And the reason that all of this stuff just keeps happening with OnlyFans, with Instagram, with all of these websites, with Patreon, with Tumblr, like all this kind of stuff has been this ripple effect that websites do not want to be held accountable for anything sexy just in case there's like any level of scrutiny towards them because there is no legal distinction between sex work and trafficking. And so they do not want to be held accountable for that. There's also this PR piece that all of these payment processors do not want to be associated with these legal but like scandalous things. There's also the Department of Justice had this whole operation called Operation Chokehold, where it's just like putting all this extra scrutiny on these perfectly legal but riskier businesses. So like payday lenders, gun sales, anything, you know, that falls under legal, but there's a lot of cash moving around and there is any association with like stigma. So they'll just put like extra scrutiny. And that is, you know, that has been part of the reason that all of these payment processors have been making it so hard for sex workers to get paid, like PayPal, Venmo. You can't use them. You can't use them. So then people end up going to these more predatory levels where they have much higher interest rates to be able to do stuff. Crypto's really not going to solve the problem.
No.
Unfortunately.
No. Especially when you look at who's the ones trying to push that crypto stuff.
So right now,
you cannot technology your way out of bigotry. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry to tell you. You can't.
So like MasterCard or misogyny coming down or whatever. On Pornhub has been a thing.
Right. That's been the thing that really made them change what they were doing. It was the MasterCard
But the argument is always to protect people, right? But like the sex workers, like from what? From myself? Right. Like, because I'm putting myself out here. This is my job. And it's like the payment processors are the reason that OnlyFans is changing this. And there is also some conversation about them trying to find additional funding and just not wanting to be scrutinized for sexual content for that reason. But they saw what happened to Tumblr. This is much more about a calculated move with their payment processors. They know exactly what will happen here. And the same day that this happened, they just launched their OFTV, which was a TV version of OnlyFans that had no sex on it. It specifically was meant to be not explicit. Also, the same day, they approved Rachel Dolezal for an account. So,
well, I mean, you know, that's just some fantasy stuff. That's not necessarily sexual. That's just it's just allowing a fantasy to continue.
But yeah, there are lots of people who are on OnlyFans who aren't doing sexual stuff, and I don't think Rachel Dolezal was supposed to be sexual. I mean, like Cardi B's on there, Bad Bobby, you know, there's a bunch of just like musicians and artists who just make a little bit more money.
Yeah, just share their stuff ahead of time. It's Patreon. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Exactly. But like, yeah, Patreon kicked off sexual content, although they technically legally still allow nudity. But again, the line between porn and nudity is nothing.
Yeah, it's the line between porn and nudity is what my penis does when I see it.
Yeah, yeah. So certain people get called porn and certain people get called art. So
you're right. You're right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, but, trash.
Yeah. So
hence fucking idiot.
Yeah. So this is, of course, unsurprising but disappointing, just because this is going to mean a whole lot of, you know, people have to scramble. But most of the sex workers I've talked to is like, this is the nature of the industry, is constantly having to move and pivot and scramble. Anyway, this is part of the game. The funny thing that I learned yesterday is that this has been hard on the buyer end as well, because someone I spoke to said 2 months in a row their credit card got frozen, and then they were like, what happened? And they're like, well, there's this charge from OnlyFans. And they were like,
yeah.
And their credit card's like, you sure you're not being scammed? And he was like, no, I wanted it, and this is the second time this has happened. And then when the third time it happened, it's like, what is your deal? Like, you have a problem with it? Like,
right, yeah. And the answer is yes.
Yeah, turns out yes.
We have a
turns
big problem with yes. that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't like you being happy with your expenditures. Again, it goes back to happiness.
And there's also this contingent of dudes on the internet who are cracking all these jokes about how, well, now all these restaurants are going to be, you know, full up again of employees.
Oh, that's
funny.
And
I want to take all of those dudes and I want to grab them by the back of the head and just slam their face into a desk, sure. like the Joker. Sure. Because it's like, you just love the idea of like knocking these women down a peg so they need to work harder to make the same amount of money. You just love the idea yeah. that they can no longer safely work at home and just make it that much harder for them and that much more risky for them to pay their fucking rent. And again, yeah. I'm going to put the pencil down.
And right. And then you're going to make it disappear. Yeah. I completely understand. Yeah, like the inequality. That's the thing that it always is going to bother me. But yeah, there are people who really get off on inequality. And mm-hmm. and like it mm-hmm. makes them feel better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that they should talk to somebody about it so that they can feel better. It's like listen. You don't have to put somebody down to be propped up. You can be very good at what you do. And it doesn't, you know, but whatever. You know, I guess some people are lazy and they deserve it. You know, and that's the, yeah, it's like, yeah, stop trying to find enemies, man. Stop trying to find enemies. I don't have anybody who I hate. I just have conversations I don't want to have with some people. And, you know, I'm sorry if every time you see me, all you want to do is talk about that thing. That's
Who's
not
this that, tweet about?
Yeah, right?
What's this about?
It's just that, you know, that in my life, there have been many people. They tend to fall into few demographics, but there have been many people who only want to talk about race with me.
Oh, okay.
And it I'm always comes up in conversation.
Are these people white?
They fall into a few key demographics.
Okay.
And that's all they want to talk about with me. Or it has to do with something. Or like their kids get around me and then all the kid wants to do is tell me about all the black people that they've met. Right? And they sit there and they giggle because like, look, oh my God, look, my child's not comfortable. Like, oh my God, isn't that fun? And it's like, well, I'm sure it is fun that your child's trash at a very young age and you don't have the wherewithal to be like, this is probably a time for parental guidance, right? Because you are probably also trash and also very uncomfortable with the fact that people are different. And these are it's, you know, I've spent a lot of my time around people, different people of those demographics, typically because I pass a number of tests that qualify me to be around them. And then that's what they want to talk about. And you know, I just refuse to have those conversations anymore because at first, as a young person, right, you think you're going to change the world. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this person's just seeking clarification. And it's not that. I've I know now. It's not that. It's not clarification they're seeking. They just want someone to... They want to feel like they're seeking clarification. But their opinions, their views, the way that they are going to behave in the world is not going to change from my conversation. And as such, it is a waste of my time. And I'm done being angry about having my time wasted. I'm just going to do something to make sure that it's not.
Just again, turn, I'm, walk away.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm just not going to be fun to be around.
I have to walk away now.
Yeah, you know, and it's and that's yeah, and that's within my rights. And I'm so sad that you are threatened by me exercising my rights, which is goes back to the same thing. It's like, oh, well, now you can't show people who want to pay to see your titties, good. Now, when you're doing something you don't like, I get a thrill out of it because I get to drop money on the floor and you have to pick it up, you piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little bit of that. Yeah, yeah. There's definitely been some showing of asses that is not the good kind. You know?
Right, yes.
There's been a little bit of that because there's yeah. the good kind and OnlyFans doesn't want you to do that anymore.
No, so. not at all. It's, yeah.
So there's lots of other options, though. I just want to put it out there that, like, if you are like, oh, no, where do I go now? And for some reason, you know, are unfamiliar with these sites, there's a bunch of great other options. There's all pros and cons to all of them.
There are smart people. You know, go local. If you really want to set up a website and you have
Don't do it on WordPress. I can tell you that from
personal experience.
Well,
that's setting up a website on WordPress. Like the way that the internet works is you can buy yourself a little server and you can put some things together. It just takes some research and a bit of know-how, but like I'm sure
if you're sexy enough to be doing sexy content creation, you're sexy enough to find someone who will help you with a website.
There you go. And if you have your own website on your own server, honestly, there are a few companies that you'll have to deal with that can shut you down. Shout out to the people who got Parler shut down, and even bigger shout out to the people who downloaded the entire contents of the website before it got shut down. And a lot of those messages are now being used in federal court. There are good people out there, is what I'm saying. And you can set up your own streaming service if you really want to. There are a variety of apps that are readily put on many of the streaming things that if you know what you're doing, you can set up a sharing of videos, live streams, and all kinds of content with a select amount of people. And if you get those people to give you money and call it, you know, rent a pizza, whatever the fuck it is, you can probably get around some other things. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I can give you a few specific names if people want to like do a little bit of looking. I highly recommend. So, funnily enough, one of my mutuals is Sex Ed with Tim. So his Instagram is Gay Slut Clown, which is just
nice. Sounds like a person I'd like to meet.
Yeah, set up a bunch of alternatives and gave like pros and cons for him. So you can see more on Gay Slut Clown on Instagram. Set up the pros and cons of like Fan Centro, which is adult friendly, 24/7 customer service. They have coaching services for creators. Payouts are subject to a 2-week hold, though, would be one of the cons. Just for Fans is another option. You can sell physical merch on there, and your earnings are paid out weekly or monthly. They also have anti-piracy technology, which is pretty clutch. But it's not necessarily like the friendliest user interface. So that one does not allow for live streaming. So you might want to have multiple accounts. You can also have one on AVN Stars, which is 80% revenue share. And it has like a Twitter-like interface. But it is newer, and so it still has some bugs to work out. And you can only upload like 3 gigabyte long videos, which is not, you know, it's like 20 minutes.
At low quality.
Yeah.
If you're uploading in 4K, it's a lot different.
And like there's still... Patreon and Gumroad if what you're doing isn't considered sex, like if it's just nudity. They do not allow porn, right? But if what you're doing is just like artsy nudes, you might still want to use like a Patreon or a Gumroad if there's no stuff going in anybody. There's only like one person in the photo, maybe. There's loyal fans. There's not a ton of features on there, but they do have a referral program, and they apparently have very good customer service, and it's pretty user-friendly. Unlocked, which is spelled without an E in it. There, you have to have made at least $100 to get your payout, so it's, you know, like, you have to be working a little bit to make that work. But it does have multiple options for you, including like tipping and premium content, private chat, like, and you get 85% of your earnings. There's many vids, which is like inconsistent with its payouts for the, your stream, but it has a lot of traffic on the site, which is helpful, and live support for that. There's Model Hub. It looks, you know, it's like the same kind of thing as like Pornhub.
Yeah, that's attached to them, so that's another mighty thing.
Yeah, it's attached to Pornhub, so take that as you will. 95% payout from the tips, which is pretty legit. And a $50 referral situation there. They have massive traffic. But again, heavily competitive if you have a lot of traffic there too.
Right.
So these are just a few of the options. There are lots of other ones. But just to let you know, this is not the end of the world. This is just the latest episode in this long saga. So.
Yeah. And, you know, other than that, you know, get registered to vote. Vote correctly. Tell your representatives that Fossa Sesta sucks. And, you know, get a job in insurance, and then use your job's might to bend the will of corporations. Go work for MasterCard.
Yeah, go work for them and drag them into the 21st century against their will. Yeah,
get a job at Visa. They're everywhere you want to be.
Yeah. So this has been a whole lot in this episode. We've gone over so much. We've gone through every emotion.
True.
Every stage of life.
I'm a little sweaty.
Yeah. So, yeah, Daryl, where can people find out more about you and buy your merch and see your streams?
Yo, honestly, if you want to buy my merch, come find me in the street. Yo, I got copies of my album, Black Gentrifier. I've sold more than half of my inventory. So that's really neat and cool. You know, I've been selling them for 1 cent a piece, IRS. I got copies on me. They're $10. If you need digital copies of it, holler at me. DarylComedy.com is the website to go see it. I am very outside and masked and vaccinated. So, check my website for dates. I will be in Baltimore, I will be in Philly, I will be in New York very soon, and other places as well. I think I'll be in Delaware, I'll be in Ambler, Pennsylvania at the Lab on September 11th. So, you know, come and see me do the jokes.
Yeah.
And Timory, where can people find you and maybe even exercise with you?
Oh, yeah. You can find out more about me at Dr. Timory, DrTimAre. Where I will post articles like the things that we discuss in the show and a bunch of other news pieces. I will also have my events coming up. So if you just go into my blog, I'll list all that kind of stuff, including the upcoming events for burlesque shows. I do once a month a one-woman version of Get You a Babe Who Can Do Both, where I give a TED Talk and then do burlesque. And we also have lots of events with Slut Church, which is the metal BDSM burlesque show, including an upcoming Save the Date for September 24th. We're going to be doing a very special pop-up event that's going to be a party and a show at a top-secret location. Ooh. So I'm going to be posting where you can sign up to find out more about that. And yeah, you can see my latest columns. I write for Philly Weekly, and I'll include links there. So everything's at drtimory.com. Yeah. So we did a lot today.
Holy cats. Man.
Yeah.
We did it. We made it happen. I'm happy it happened. Thank you to Flirt Vonnegut for doing the threading of the needle and getting this all to everybody.
Yeah, our editor, producer, Flirt Vonnegut. And thank you to all of you for listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for supporting us. We'll be back in the venue when we can be. We'll let you know when that's happening. So we hope to see you there. And we will keep doing this as well. And we will talk at you next week.
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.